I'm going to name some sports teams. Raise your hand if you know when I say them. And some of you should know these, okay? Know these teams and know why those teams even exist, why they play. Now, this one, I'll be honest, this first one, this was the first year that they did not exist. But the Williamsport Crosscutters. Okay, all right, so nobody, no takers. All right. The Hudson Valley Renegades. So, just think. If you're confident, you raise your hand, but just, I'll give you some more. And some of these I might have to leave the city off because it'll give it away, all right? But here's one that doesn't give it away. The Somerset Patriots. Ooh, Anthony knows, but he's our big sports encyclopedia guy. So does anybody else know the Somerset Patriots? Okay, all right. I'll give you a few more. And I forgot to look this one up. I'm not going to remember what it is. How about this one? So give it away. The Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. Oh, we got some hands. Got some hands. Luke. All right, so you're one of the first ones to kind of indicate you were like, he's dumping it on Ethan. So you want to dump it on Ethan? Yeah, you do. Do you know? We're going to dump it on Anthony. All right, Isaac thinks he knows. Let's hear it from our senior. Yes. All right, but different levels. In fact, almost all the teams I mentioned are in our minor league affiliates of the New York Yankees. The Hudson Valley Renegades. So let me see. The Rail Riders, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders are Triple A. The Somerset Patriots are Double A. And the Hudson Valley Renegades are Single A. Now, I couldn't use my team, the Phillies, because we have the Iron Pigs, which everybody knows, the Reading Phillies, and then, and I can't remember the Clearwater team now. There's also the Jersey Shore something or other. But anyway, this is the minor league affiliate system. Do you know what that's called in baseball? The blank blank, the farm system? The farm system. So the farm system of the Yankees is the Renegades, the Rail Riders, and of course all the way up to the big league team. Okay? That's called, does anybody know why it's called the farm system? What is the farm system all about? Why do the Yankees have so many minor league, and every other team does as well, but why do the Yankees have so many minor league affiliate teams, Anna? What's that? That's where you harvest your players from. That's exactly right. Okay, you have a farm system so that you can grow players to move on from the minor leagues to the big leagues. See, now you see where I'm going right now, okay? So if you want a title, the big leagues. The farm system is all about growing a major league team utilizing minor league talent. Baseball is very distinct in this, which is a little bit different than from some of the other sports where you can get drafted as a college player or maybe even a high school player and eventually go into playing for the main team. Although that's getting less and less. Even in basketball, you have to put some time in the G League, right, in order to move up. But the whole point of that is being able to have a professional team and to have a pool of talent that you're bringing up, okay? Is the point of the farm system just to fill teams so that all the teams have players and they can play games and, you know, have a great time? No, that's not the intent of the farm system. The farm system is to take raw talent and help it to grow so that it can be what it needs to be on the big league team. We're talking about that, and we're mentioning this because in 2 Peter 3:18, Peter closes out his letter to the believers there, and he just simply says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I want to talk to you about the need for growth. And obviously, you've heard, you know, that that is the theme of our camp. But I want to just take just this verse and spend some time meditating on what does this verse have to say about growth and taking the next step, going to the next level, or as they say, stepping up to the plate and making some decisions that you need to make so that you can grow. Peter just says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go kind of word by word through this verse. The first word is, you can all read, right? But. What is the type of speech for the word but? I have a young lady. Type of speech. Fiona. It is a conjunction. You are exactly correct. What does a conjunction do? Conjunction, junction, that's my function. Sorry. I did grow up watching a few episodes of Schoolhouse Rock, so that doesn't mean, okay, whatever. You could probably look them up on YouTube, but they would do the parts of speech songs. Conjunction, junction, that's my function is the one I remember. I don't remember any others. But that tells you what the function of a conjunction is. What is the function of a conjunction? Titus? All right. To join two clauses or to join two thoughts together. In this case, it is an independent sentence, but it's joining to the thought that has been presented in what's written prior. Now, in this case, the thought is a contrast. Look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, obviously, what's spoken of in verse 17 are things that are negative, all right? Some bad things that Peter is wanting them to avoid. Because he says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There's two dangers here that Peter is pointing out. The one danger is that we would easily be led away with the error of the wicked. Do you know that each and every one of you, and including myself in this as well, that there is a very real danger in your life for you to be led away from the truth, led away from the path that God wants you to be in, and to be led away into the error of the wicked? Be careful, because I have a feeling that some of you kind of think, well, I would never do that. It's not even a possibility. You know, I would never walk in that way. I would never go to those lengths. I would never do those things. Be careful with that thought process, because that's not true. Except by the grace of God, there go I, as the phrase goes. And there is truth to that thought, that phrase. All of us are susceptible to being led away with the error of the wicked, to being deceived, to being tricked somehow, to fall into some sort of error, and to be led away, and that error kind of carry you away from where God wants you to be. That is a very real danger. You should be aware of that. You should know that. Okay, so if I'm not careful, I could be led away. And notice what else he mentions. There's a second thing. I could also fall from my own steadfastness. Okay, so what does the word steadfastness mean in your mind? What do you think of when you hear that? Steadfastness. Anthony? All right, as the idea, like, I'm set. I can't be moved. This is, maybe we could say, a conviction of mine. This is what I believe to be right. This is what I believe to be true. And you're strong in that. A steadfastness is strength in that. Okay? But what does he mention taking place? He's talking about people who were steadfast. It's not that they weren't, that they didn't believe it. They used to be steadfast. They used to be strong. And what happens? They fall away from that. It means there's a very real danger of you, and yes, even me, maybe being here this afternoon and having a firmness, a steadfastness in what you believe and what you want the direction of your life to be, what your vision is for your future, which I know all of you have something in your mind as far as this is what I want my life to be about. You could be steadfast in that and be strong in that, and yet something still happen, something still take place that would cause you to stumble and fall away from that. Now, that reality kind of causes me to sit up straight a little bit and to be like, boy, I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. How about you? Is there a thought like, man, I don't want that to happen for me? I hope there is. I hope in the sensitivity of your heart, you're thinking, I don't want that to be me. Okay, so here's the question. And here's why this conjunction is here. How do we make sure that we are not led away with the error of the wicked? How do we make sure that we don't fall away from being steadfast, from being sure and secure? How do we make sure that that doesn't happen? Well, verse 18, right? All right, beware lest these things happen. Instead, all right, if you want the golden ticket, maybe that's not a good way to use that. If you want the magic pill, the magic potion, if you want the way to make sure that those things do not happen, we'll move on to the second word in verse 18. So but is the conjunction. It makes us aware of the fact that that danger exists, but grow. Grow. Okay, what is the function, the part of speech? What is the word grow, Alyssa? It is a verb. Now, when you're doing Bible study, one of the things that you can do when you are studying the Bible is specifically look for verbs because they're helpful for you. But in any real decent software that's available, go to blueletterbible.com, look at these verses, you can pull up the individual words, and it will have something called especially with verbs, it will have a parsing of that verb. So here is the parsing for the word grow, and I want to kind of park on some of these individual ones. The verb grow is present. It's a present, active, second person imperative. Whew. Okay, so let's kind of work through some of those. Let's go the easy one first. That verb is in the second person. In fact, what is the subject of this sentence in verse 18? If grow is the verb, what is the subject? Sam? You, all right? It's the second person. It's you understood, all right? Or it's when you're doing your schoolwork, you still have to put the you in parentheses, right? When you're doing that. All right, so it's you understood. Can I tell you when it comes to, all right, the antidote to falling away from your steadfastness, from being led away into the error of the wicked is to grow. Can anyone else do that for you? Can I say, well, I'm going to create this environment in the youth group that will make it so that the young people have to grow? Am I able to do that? Boy, I certainly wish I was, but I'm not able to do that. Only you, all right, individually, you as the second person can make the decision to grow, to take the next step, to progress. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it'll be okay, all right? Only you can grow for yourself. All right, so it is a present, active, second person imperative. All right, let's look at the word, the present tense. All right, that verb is in the present tense, grow. It answers the question of when is this action to be taken? Okay, so if it's in the present tense, when is this action supposed to be taking place? Josh? Now. Now, you mean not tomorrow? Not when you get to the senior high? Not when you graduate? Not when you, you know, get to a place of where you're one of the older ones? No, it's grow. Now. Do it now. It's in the present tense. We get into error, we get into problems when we say, I know what needs to take place in my life. I know of the problems or the issues. And I hope by now you're coming to the place in your life in maturity that you're starting to see your own areas where you need to grow. Your own areas where you're not exactly what God wants you to be, that God's showing those to you. When is the time to challenge those areas? When is the time to pursue after growth? Is it tomorrow? Is it, you know, at some other time? Or is it now? It's now. It's present tense. It's also in the active tense. All right, so what's the difference between an active verb and a passive verb? And illustrate it using the illustration at hand of baseball. Maybe that's too hard. Ethan, tell me what active, passive. Give me a description of the two. Okay, so you got the ball, right? The pitcher throws the ball. Pitcher, active or passive? Active. You got the catcher, and he catches the ball. Active or passive? Passive. And that may not be a perfect illustration, but the action is happening to him, even though he is doing a little bit of activity of, I understand, of closing the glove or whatever. But you get the idea. Active or passive. Here is the one distinction of this illustration of growth where obviously Peter is in our minds taking us to some sort of plant that's growing. In some senses, in the animal kingdom, in the plant world, growth is something that happens. It's something that happens naturally, and it's something that happens without any effort, right? It just sort of happens. When it comes to spiritual growth, there is a little bit of a distinction. Because in spiritual growth, in a believer's life, you have the very real choice to say no to growth. Did you know that? God gives you the choice when he's dealing with things in your life, when he lays something apart in your heart, when he kind of touches your sense and says, this is something for you right here. This is what you need to work on. He gives you the choice of whether or not you're going to face that area and grow, whether or not you're going to say no. So you have the choice to grow or to say no. You have to make that choice. In other words, just sitting around on your hands and doing nothing is not going to help you grow. You're going to have to make a choice to say, growth is important to me, and therefore I am going to take some steps to make it happen. I'm going to have to actually act, to be active in this process of growing. So it's the present, active, second person imperative. So we didn't talk about imperative. What does the word imperative mean? Something is imperative. It means, let's see, who I haven't called on yet. All right, Leah. Imperative, it's a command. So this isn't just like really good advice. This isn't like, you know, let me empower you by giving you a little bit of secret about how you can live your best life. Now, the commands that God gives us do come along with blessings attached. I'm thankful for that. That's a wonderful thing. There are some blessings that are involved with doing what God wants us to do. The point is this, though. If you are a believer, and even if you're not, there's an obligation that you have in this, but especially if you are a believer, the command to grow for you is imperative. It's not an option. It's a command, which means that if you do not grow, what are you doing? If growing is obedience to God's command, that means not growing is disobedience. That kind of changes perspective, doesn't it? So if you go like, I know that's an area there, and I'll deal with it eventually when I get to it, and I want to deal with it, but you know, I've got other things going on right now, that is disobedience. Which disobedience is sin, right? Yeah, disobedience to God is sin. Boy, that kind of changes the dynamic, doesn't it? Changes the perspective. But grow. You know that word, we should have probably done this first, but what does the word grow mean? Again, you can find this out by, you know, pulling up Blue Letter Bible, pulling up 2 Peter 3:18 and looking at the word grow. 12 times the word grow, that's the Greek word that's translated as grow, is translated grow, right? But another 7 times, actually it's 9 times total, is the idea of increase or giving the increase. Oh, so that's kind of a clue. And we understand this, right? We look at a tree and say, oh, it grew because it increased. It got bigger in size, okay? There was an increase that was there. And it's also this translation, it's also translated as growing up, right? And that's the command or the intent that we looked at last time when we were talking about camp, growing up into him in all things, Ephesians chapter 4. Growing up into Christ, right? Here's one definition I read. To grow means to increase in the extent or the instances of an activity or state. It means to increase, to spread, to extend. Growth. Which is why, and I don't even know, I was going to check if this sign is not there. There used to be a sign, and I think it used to be going down. It might actually be going up into the Elijah room now, into the Sunday school room. But it used to be as you went down to the bathrooms underneath the fellowship hall, and the sign just simply said, direction, not perfection. We could kind of boil that down to one word. God wants growth. He wants increase. He wants change. Can I ask you, in your spiritual life right now, closing out this school year, are you in a different place spiritually than you were last year? Now, I'm glad for some of you, you know, it's pretty obvious, the different spiritual state. That's exciting, okay? But that's not to just be a one-time event in your life. God wants you to make some advances, some growth, some spreading, some extending. It mentioned the increase in the extent or the instances of an activity. And immediately I thought about some of the spiritual disciplines. What are the four main spiritual disciplines? Anybody name any of them? All right. What should a Christian do? What's one of them, Isaac? We should pray. So growth is the increase in the extent or the instances of prayer, for example. Okay? When you look at your prayer life, do you see an increase in the amount, the extent, the richness, the fullness of life in your prayers? Okay, so that's growth. Another discipline, Luke. All right, reading the Bible. All right, ingesting God's word. And of course, we could do this in a variety of ways, reading, listening, studying it, getting into it, those kind of things. So growth is an increase in the extent or instances of how we are ingesting God's word. When you look at your devotional life, your relationship with God's word, I know it's a struggle to spend daily time with God. It's not easy. And you're in the period of life in which you're working on building that habit. But do you see any growth in your consistency? I mean, I used to kind of do it only once or twice a week, and now I'm at least doing it all the school days, and I've already shared with you, you know, as a young person, my struggle was always Saturday, all right, that sort of free day, and it was a long time until I could finally get victory over that as a teenager and a young person, but growth is not that you are, you know, the perfect little Christian, and you wake up and you open your Bible and you just look just like you're doing everything the way you're supposed to do it. Now, that's the perfection, not direction. The direction is, am I doing it more? And not just more, it's not a quantitative thing. You understand what I'm saying. You understand my heart. Is it better than it has been in the past? And if it's not better than it has been, you're saying one of two things. At least the one thing you're saying, you could be saying, is it's perfect. There isn't really any room for growth. Or in other words, I've arrived. And if that's your attitude, if that's your spirit, I would wake up really fast because that's not a good place to be. I do all of this perfectly. Well, I actually know that you don't. And that sort of attitude is a serious problem, okay? So right now you should just repent of that and ask God for forgiveness and then, okay, can you show me where I really am, okay? But God's looking for some growth. He's not looking for everything to be perfect and everything to be in place and we just look at you and go, wow, look at how that young person reads their Bible. In fact, if that's the motivation in your heart, then you have a serious problem with pride. Separate issue for another time. God is looking for growth. All right, there's four disciplines. What's the third one? Anna? Witnessing. Outreach. Are you growing? Some of you, it scares the daylights out of you to hang that piece of literature on someone's door. But as you grow, you say, you know what? God can enable me to do that. And then for some of you, well, you know, actually going door to door, that scares the daylights out of you, okay? And you need to grow and get to the place where God can help you with that. And then it's, I have to actually open my mouth and talk to somebody to grow and get to the place where you understand and realize that God can help you with that. He can give you the ability. Growing. Now, again, I would rather have somebody who is step-by-step growing way back on hanging something on someone's door or passing out a tract at a store. I would rather have someone who has a heart to grow than someone over here who says, well, I do all of that. I always go on visitation, and none of the rest of these people do. That's ridiculous. No one would ever think that. Really? I know that not to be the case, not to be true. Are you growing? Okay. So we had three of the areas. We're missing one. Does anybody know? We had prayer, relationship with the Bible, our outreach, witness. Does anyone remember what the fourth one was? Begins with the letter F. Leah? Fellowship. Fellowship is our interaction with each other, fellow believers. I know this is really awkward, all right, and difficult for us. I say for us. I'm not 18 anymore, as much as I'd like to be. But for you, okay? Because a lot of you, I know, would love to have spiritual conversations with each other, talking about the realities of what it's like to be a teenager and after God. A lot of you in your heart, you really would like to have a discussion with your friends about that. But do you ever? For anything like me, the answer to that was not near as much as I should, because somebody has to bring up the topic. I don't want that to be me. Because then no one else will want to talk about it, and then I'll be the awkward one. You know, I'll be the weird one. But fellowship is, and I love going to 1 John, fellowship is sharing what you have seen and heard. 1 John, John talks about that which we have seen and we've heard, our hands have handled of the word of life, and then he talks about this is the fellowship that we share. Fellowship is talking about what God is doing in your life, in your life, not in other people's lives, not necessarily what God is doing in the church and knowing all these different facts. But it is, what is God doing in you? Are you growing in that area or having more spiritual conversations with the people in our church, with your friends, with your peer group? This is growing. This is the increase in the extent and instances of an activity. But grow. Now, before we go, though, we have to finish the verse, right? But grow in grace. In grace. Now, I did puzzle over this for a little bit. Like, practically speaking, what does it mean to grow in grace? Well, one of the, you know, our textbook definition of grace, someone give me, what is grace? Grace is what, Adam? Right, God's riches at Christ's extent. Another definition of grace would be, sort of, maybe put it this way, God's goodness to us when we don't deserve it, okay? That's what grace is. But how do we grow in God's goodness shown to us? Well, there's another meaning of the word grace. In fact, the word grace, the word is translated for grace here, is translated 6 times as the word favor. Do you remember Jesus? In fact, didn't Brother George talk about this last week in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52? How Jesus increased in knowledge and favor with God and man? See, here's the thing with growth. When we grow in grace, as we grow, we're growing in favor specifically with God, but then also with those who know God and have fellowship with God. Believers who are in fellowship with God. So when we grow in grace, what we're doing is our life is growing in its favor and the pleasure it brings to God. In other words, are we increasing, are we growing in bringing favor to God? Now, we don't want to make the mistake of having the mindset and like, I do good things so that God will be happy with me. So I'm earning God's sort of favor. Now that we want to be careful to avoid that. But the Bible does talk in a very real sense about, as believers, there's an innate desire in us, there ought to be anyway, for us to please God. We're close by. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. 2 Thessalonians 4. Look in verse 1. We touched on this verse in our study in 1 Thessalonians. But think about it this way, and this kind of brings a new light to it. 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, I didn't say 2nd. Sorry. 1 Thessalonians 4. I have another verse from 2 Timothy right next to it, so I'm getting confusing myself. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Somebody read that. Josh, read it. So you've received of us how you should walk, and to, what was the next part? And to, you've received of us how you should walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. In other words, that verse is talking about abounding, growing in the amount of pleasure you bring to God from your walk. Do you see the similarity in 2 Peter 3:18, where we're told to grow in grace? We're to abound more and more in pleasing God. Grace. We're to grow in grace. Of course, part of this definition, this meaning, also includes how we treat others, and then extending God's grace, God's goodness to others. Which again, though, we understand is what pleases God. So when Peter says grow in grace, what he is really saying is grow in your ability to please God. I like this as believers. You know, God doesn't say, get here and you'll make me happy. Be perfect and you will make me happy. Be one of those young people that you just look at, like we were talking about before. Wow. Then you'll please me. Do you know, you realize that that's not how God works? God takes you, every individual one of you, where you are, and says, okay, what's the next step? What's next? Let's do that. Let's do it. I'll help. I'll give you the ability. I'll hold your hand. I'll encourage you. I'll strengthen you. But let's take that step. Are you ready? Let's go. That's what God does. So, Michael, come here. All right. I wasn't planning on doing this, but come on up. Michael's going to come up. All right. And we're just going to pretend, and I know this is not Michael, because he's far advanced in his Christian life, but we're going to pretend that he's way down here. And where God wants him to be is way over here. God doesn't treat us as, why aren't you over there, loser? What's your problem? What do you need from me? I've given you everything you need. What is your problem? God doesn't treat us that way. He says, all right, so we understand that's where we want to be. I'm not saying this. But right now, you're really struggling with your salvation. We're just going to pretend that, right? And right now, you really just need to get serious about seeking God and figuring it out. Can we do that? Maybe, let's just say for illustration purposes, it's, you know, you really need to be honest and open with a spiritual leader in your life, whether that's parents or pastors or whoever, or someone you respect spiritually in the church, to just open yourself up and say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is my God kind of lays it on Michael's heart, like, okay, I want you to go to that person and to say, I need some help. Would you help me? God comes along and says, we can I know it's hard. Gotta talk to an adult. Especially that pastor gave a guy. You know what? I'll be there to help you. So he's over there. Let's just go that one step. You ready? We'll start with the inside foot, which for you is your right. For me, it's my left. Ready? Ready? Step. Step. Great job. You know, I would hug you, but I don't think you want that. All right, go sit down. But God then comes and he says, you have pleased me. You have made me happy. You've succeeded. You know what that makes you want to do? And this wasn't my point of that necessarily, but what that makes you want in your life is when you take that step and you get that sense, I was able to please God. Now, not that you were earning your favor, but you were saying, I was able to show God how much he means to me, and that was fun. He helped me. And so then there's the next thing, and I wonder what that is. And you take that step, and you take that step. For some of you, it is that, you know, that simple step of faith of getting baptized. Taking that step. God wants you to grow. It could be in an area of a spiritual discipline. God wants you to grow. And here's the wonderful thing, and we'll be done. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word knowledge. We don't have time to really dig into that. But knowledge has a couple different facets. It has to do with knowing some facts, right? Just the facts that you have been taught. We could probably spend, you know, a lot of the day, get a big whiteboard in here and describe all of the facts about God. But I don't think that's the knowledge that he's talking about. I don't think it is. I want you to be able to win first place in the Bible trivia game when it comes to facts about knowledge. Think about Michael. He probably knows the fact that God is the helper of his children. He probably knows that God is faithful. He probably knows that God wants to have a relationship with him and to grow close to him. He probably even knows that God blesses obedience. But does he really know that until he actually steps and obeys? And then all of a sudden he's excited and he says, God's faithful. Like, yeah, we knew that. God helps you when you obey him. Yeah, we kind of knew that. God blesses you when you follow after him. Yeah, we know that. But see, the difference is he knows it by experience versus just facts rattled around in his head. I have a fear, young people, that you have a lot of facts and knowledge about who Jesus is and who God is rattling around in your brain. But it's not real to you because you haven't experienced it. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is where I just experienced it, so it's real to me. That doesn't mean the facts aren't real. That just means it takes on a completely different new dimension when you experience it for yourself. I'm fairly confident. I'm not really scared of heights all that much. I'm fairly confident that if I paid one of these companies to take me up in a plane and do a tandem jump, I'm fairly confident that I would be delivered back safely like Miss Kristen was, you know. I'm fairly confident that I would, you know, jump out of that plane, my parachute would open, I would land on the ground. But I've never done it. She knows a whole lot more about it than I do. Doesn't matter how many facts I have in my brain about how this works and what the what the tandem guy does and what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do and when you're supposed to do this, when you're, and how all of those things work together. Like, how exactly does the parachute get out of your sack? And like, okay, there's probably some sort of system there where a weight comes. I could know all of those things, every detail, and still not know as much as she does. Why? Because she's done it. She experienced it. God wants you to experience him so that you will know him. You do not know him if you just have a bunch of biblical facts rattling around in your brain. You know him by coming and confronting an issue in your life, confronting a fear that you have. And God says, I want you to go there. I want you to do that. I want you to take that step. That's when you know God. Before, you just have some knowledge. I say all of that to say this. Take a moment this afternoon and think. How does God want me to grow? In our church, we have, just like the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies, we have a farm system. We're not happy with the farm system just populated with players. The farm system's not just about having enough players to field those four or five teams on each level. The purpose of the farm system is so that the players grow and they get to the place where they can enter the big leagues and really play. Play the real game. Now, if you play minor league baseball, can you say with and be 100% honest that you are playing professional ball? Yes or no? Yes, you're playing professional ball. I mean, are you really playing baseball, though? You're not in the big leagues. What area does God want you to grow so that you can enter the big leagues? Think about the song, A Growing Grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how does God want you to grow? Lord, I trust you've spoken to our hearts today. Lord, as we think about camp in just a few short weeks, I pray that you would prepare our hearts even now, that we'd be excited about tackling some areas of spiritual growth and not just waiting till later, not just waiting, well, I'll do that at camp, but get involved in walking in growth with God even now and build that momentum so that God, you can carry us even further in those next steps. I pray that you'd impress on our heart the need for us to be active in this pursuit, to be active when it comes to seeking after growth, and that you would help us to grow, and that we would, in a short period of time, be able to look back and say, here is the areas in which I have grown, where God has stretched my faith, and I've seen, and I've grown in my knowledge of him. The real experiential kind of knowledge, I've experienced it. I pray for real growth and real Christianity in these young people's lives. Thank you for meeting with us this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.